Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And this is a second take of this podcast.
It is.
If it sounds like we have said it all before, or we know what we're going to say, it's only because we do. Some idiot named Jonathan didn't check the SD card before we recorded, and as a result, we didn't get a recording.
Yeah.
We sat here and talked to each other for an hour with nothing to show for it.
Exactly.
So, that sucked. Also, big shout out to the recorder, the H4N, for not letting me know the card was full.
Yeah.
Because we only got like 15 minutes of audio. We could have, if it like showed us, it'd been easy to fix and we just do it again.
Yeah, because we actually planned ahead and recorded early before our day at Renfest.
Yeah, we knew we were doing Renfest Sunday.
Yeah.
And we knew there was going to be a rum tasting and probably at least a couple of Christoffian Zolder shows. So drinking was going to happen.
Yeah.
And probably not recording afterward. And you know what? We were right.
We were.
So, yeah, we ended up having a great time, but maybe paid for it a little bit.
Well, we just thought that this was already done. We didn't know that it wasn't.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyways. But definitely, to find out, you know, when stuff like this happens, because I had to post about this on Haunt Weekly on Facebook. You can find us at all of our locations. We're hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. YouTube.com/Haunt Weekly is our YouTube channel. All previous episodes are available there. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. All right. Well, it is episode 206 is what we're doing, and we're talking about how much should your haunt charge?
Yeah.
This is a question that we actually get asked a fair amount, A. And B, it's a really difficult one to answer. We've talked about it from the customer standpoint.
Right. What is the price point that makes us feel like we got our bang for our buck?
Yeah.
We've talked about that.
To the customer side, but we've never talked about it from the business side.
Right.
Because ultimately, that's how you have to price it. I mean, if you can't make your money, it doesn't matter, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's really that simple. So anyways, that's what we're going to be covering this time around. On that note, though, a few things to go into. Conference reminders are the first. To that end, I will kick things off by saying coming up December 9th in Kissimmee, Florida, is a seasonal attraction leadership symposium 2019 at the Gaylord Palms, hosted by the Haunted Attractions Network. Decent chance you're listening to us on the Haunted Attractions Network. If so, cool. You probably already know about this. There will be four keynotes and following discussions and a private viewing of the Christmas by Gaylord Palms. HauntedAttractionNetwork.com is the website everyone can spell and go to. But leadership-symposium.org, for those of you who want to have a winning Scrabble hand, can get more direct information about this, get-together.
Okay. Next on the list, December 13th, it's Lost Souls Haunted Bus Tour Christmas Edition in Chicago, Illinois. Locations are going to be announced. To find out what they are, go to lostsoulschicago.com.
Yeah, this was just announced like two or three hours before we did the first recording on Saturday. Right. So, yes, definitely exciting stuff. Do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, after that, January 17th through the 19th in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's HauntCon / Halloween and Party Expo at the Ernest and Memorial Convention Center. We'll be featuring us.
Yes.
Some updates there in just a minute. We are giving a talk, though. Just got confirmation. We've got our tickets lined up. Everything's good. I'm excited. We're doing a talk on basic scare tactics and how to design to scare is the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Learn more at HauntCon.com.
Okay, on February 21st through the 23rd, it's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. They will be touring Asylum Haunted House, lights on and off for that, and features a costume ball. HauntX.com for more info.
I so want to go to this at some point.
I know.
Oh, man.
Me too.
But yeah, all right. So we've got a lot of housekeeping we want to take care of before we jump into the main topic. Mm-hmm. First thing is first, a quick update about our haunt. Not a lot has been going on with it. We are going to have it ready for January 17th.
Yeah.
The big news involving our haunt is that we have now published the formal event for when we will be opening for HauntCon.
Right.
If you go to Haunt Weekly on Facebook, or you are a member of some of the HauntCon groups, mm-hmm. We have added the event. Right now we have, I think, 7 people confirmed going. And not counting us.
Yes. Yes.
Of course we're going. We live here.
Yeah, but we still like marked ourselves as going.
Facebook kind of forces you to.
Yeah, anyway.
But we got 7 people confirmed going, a bunch of people interested. We've got enough, basically passenger space for about 15. We may be renting a passenger van if we get much above that.
Right.
So we need to know the exact numbers. So please find the event and mark yourself as going if you intend to go. We are also potentially doing...
We're also doing a crawfish boil. As long as we can, you know, find crawfish in January. It's a little early in the season, but it should be fine.
It's going to be a challenge. We're going to do the best we can.
Yeah. And the other reason we need that exact number is because I make gifts for people who come over. So if you want a little gift bag, then I need to know you're going to be here.
So I'm just saying this is a hell of a free deal here. You will be you'll be fed, assuming we can find crawfish. We'll think of something else to feed you.
Well, no. I mean, we'll feed you. Crawfish. And okay. You may not get much per person, but there will be other sides that are native to Louisiana.
Yeah, we will see what we can do in that area. That's going to be tricky. But I would love to do that. A free gift, a free lights off and lights on tour of our haunt.
Yeah.
All of the, and free transportation, at least here, hither and yon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then we're going to go to a bar afterward and hang out and talk haunty stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. So, like I said, the event is on the Haunt Weekly Facebook page. It's the Tour of Bernie Baxter.
Yeah.
Go there. Say that you're going. Let us know so we can get numbers.
Yes.
Other than that, we also have a few comments and corrections from the previous episodes. First, we owe Japes a slight apology. Well, an apology. Just an apology. In the last episode, we indicated that Lost Souls was in the ballpark as Phobia Haunted House near Houston. Phobia is $75 for all haunts. Lost Souls is $125 per tour, per night, basically, mm-hmm. which is 3 haunts, but that's also transportation and better than the VIP access. And dear God, it's such an amazing deal.
Yeah, and a goodie bag.
And a goodie bag. And entertainment and giveaways and keep going, right?
Yeah, and these are high quality verified haunts.
Yeah, you get someone there who knows these haunts well and is making sure that you have a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I cannot recommend Lost Souls enough. But yeah, okay, they're not in the same price range or as close as we indicated, but I don't think if you factor out the cost of transportation.
No.
You know what I mean? It kind of becomes ballpark about the same.
Yeah. So, I definitely think that's true.
Yeah, I really do think that it's closer. Maybe not as close as we indicated, but maybe it's still at least playing the same sport.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of tours, Troy had an interesting comment on our Facebook page where we talked about the Legendary Haunt Tour and how they were selling a $270 ticket to tour 2 haunts. And you had to drive yourself.
Yeah.
He referred to it as robbery. Mm-hmm. And I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah.
The moment in your life you have to say the words, I agree with Troy, mm-hmm. is really should be a moment of reflection and deep personal, you know, verification here. But I think he's right on this one. I mean, Netherworld, is a great haunt. We did it. We went there last year in their old location. I'm sure it's equally impressive in the new one.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. But it was the last year at... Oh, their last year at that location, not last year.
Yes.
Sorry. I said it right, but I said it wrong.
Yes.
In classic Jonathan style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but basically, if you add the ticket price for them together, they're $50. Netherworld's $30. Aatrox is $20. So if you went in season for them, it'd be $50. And so basically, the rest of that, if you have the drive-yourself ticket... It's $220 for two dinners and one round of seminars.
Yes.
And by comparison, HauntCon, which still has some of their early bird deals going, not the earliest of the early birds, but still some very good deals going on, is $139 for a full weekend pass.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, yeah, long story short, yeah, I was disappointed when I found that out, too. They had said up until super recently the more haunts were TBA. I guess they didn't A those last haunts.
Yeah.
It
doesn't seem to.
Did not seem to happen. And the thing that kills me is this is done by the same people that do Transworld.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to put on a great show.
Yeah.
They know how to give a good value for a conference. This is crazy. So, anyways, something to think about. I hate having to be in a position where I have to say the words, I agree with Troy. All right, and finally, we've been hearing from some of our winners.
Yes, many of them have gotten their prizes. And what prizes are those, you ask? Because we haven't actually posted pictures of them. Well, I made little pumpkin jack-o'-lanterns out of yarn and stuffing for all of the winners.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the grand prize winners received a spooky painting painted by me. So
very, very cool.
Yeah. And Kelly, your replacement painting, because unfortunately the glass in the frame broke and scratched the painting.
Yeah, I mean, and it's weird. We sent two of those out. One made it very far, very okay, and it was perfectly fine when it arrived, and they even sent photos of it.
Exactly.
It was great. And this other one, apparently the postman just like played kickball with it or something. I don't know.
Exactly. So she'll be getting a replacement one, but that's with the damaged one going into her haunt, so I'm very happy with that outcome.
This gives us an artistic presence in two haunts now.
Yes.
Which is a very, very nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, big thank you to Sam Farrell, Shannon Robles, Kelly Rays, Roberta McClellan, and Chris Gay also wrote. He wrote literally as we were compiling the show notes.
Right.
For sending us your photos, your I love it, your thank yous, all that stuff. You people are all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You are awesome.
And for those who we are still waiting to hear from, too.
Yeah, I understand. Everybody's awesome. But I'm giving a special awesome to the people that made us feel good.
It sounds like you're trying to get into
There's no
the
good,
Lego.
Dirty losers that didn't know. Come on.
It sounds like you're trying to get into the Lego land movies or something. Everything is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, excuse me. So this brings us to our actual question of the week. How much should a haunt cost? We've been thinking about it a lot this season, not just as consumers, but also as business people.
Right.
And the reason is because of the Houston trip. Yeah. Long story short, the Houston trip, you go back to episode 203, we talk about it in much more detail.
Mm-hmm.
But long and short of it is Houston, the haunts there were much more expensive than what we're used to here in Louisiana and were much smaller.
Right. Exactly. And I would argue that we were thinking about it even before that,
mm-hmm.
because Mortuary raised its prices this year. And we as customers had to decide whether or not to go. And we'll talk about that later on in the notes.
Yeah. And we actually ran the numbers. And once again, episode 203 for the full breakdown.
Right.
And we found that the Houston haunts, which is technically Houston, Beaumont, Vidor, that area, the I-10 stretch, averaged $1.73 per minute. Where Louisiana haunts, and this is now more all over the state, averaged 94 cents.
Yeah.
That's nearly double per minute. And that's just it. It's like, were the Houston haunts twice as good?
No.
No. I mean, the 13th Gate is in that list of Louisiana haunts.
Yeah, exactly.
Rise is in in that list. New Orleans Nightmare is in that list. I mean...
Yeah, and I would put any of them...
Yeah.
And in fact, I don't know of a single Texas haunt that I would say competes with any of the Louisiana ones.
No, none of the ones we went to, at least. Now, one thing I will say I think would make an awesome haunt tour, if you could arrange this, would be to do Lafayette, Lake Charles, and Vidor, Texas.
Yeah.
Because there's three really good trail haunts right there. Bing, bang, bingo, bango, bongo.
Yeah.
Right in sequence. I would love to see that become a haunted, like a Lost Souls type bus tour. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
No.
But yeah, so this raises the question, though, how much should a haunt cost? And that's what we're going to try to answer. God have mercy on our souls. Please pity us. All right, well, first we want to talk about some approaches that do not work. And the first one is the dollar per minute rule.
What?
Weren't you just citing that? Yes. And if you go back to episode 203, I explained why citing the dollar per minute rule is like summoning George the dick-kicking demon. Sometimes you just need to summon a dick-kicking demon to get a point across.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to summon a demon, let alone a dick-kicking demon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but here's the thing. It's really not that useful. And the reason is everyone's haunt experience is different. And every haunt visit is different. This season, we went to the Devil Swamp Tour.
Right.
Part of Scout Island. And because we had those passes where we could go all the times we wanted.
Yeah.
We did it literally back-to-back, functionally back-to-back.
Yes.
You know, we went through it, got out of line, I think we got a drink or something, then went right back in line and did it again. Mm-hmm. And the first time we did it, it was 18 minutes and some change. Mm-hmm. The second time, it was 22:30, I think. It was 4.5 minutes longer. And the difference was the first time I got stuck in a large group of pre-tween girls who just decided to literally shove me down the path as fast as they could. At every turn, seriously, they were trying to turn me into the front end of a human centipede.
Yeah.
It was awkward and horrible. I mean, at least I'd be the front end.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to be in a human centipede, you want to be in the front. But yeah, but 4 minutes, that's almost 25% more time.
Yeah.
So is it an 18-minute haunt or a 22-minute haunt?
Yeah. No,
I can tell you it's in that range. It'll probably hit somewhere around 20 minutes.
Right.
But there's still going to be pretty wild differences between even individual trips. Unless you tightly control the timings of a haunt. Like, obviously, like the haunt, Disney's Haunted Mansion, which is a ride.
Yeah.
You know exactly how long they're going to spend in there.
Right.
That's I guess that one could be somewhat useful. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, in the first haunt we worked at, the Boy Scouts one, it was scene-based where the actors would hold you in each room and perform a scene. Yeah. And that you could time
out. That spook house style that ain't there no more, as we say here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then you're going to have some variance. The actors never did the scene the exact same way twice. It could take longer for a group to follow. And they had that goddamn maze in it that everyone hated.
Yeah, and at the very end, you just kind of were let loose to go through the last two rooms.
All right, y'all, see you later. Enjoy walking in the blank walls for 2 hours.
No.
God, I hated that maze.
Yeah,
I usually do. Well, it was the only room in the haunt I patently refused to work.
Yeah.
I would volunteer for any other room in that haunt, but I would not be a maze monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I patently refuse to do that, and I don't refuse anything in a haunt. I'm very flexible. I'll work the ticket booth. I have worked ticket booth.
Right.
Like, well, we don't have anyone in the ticket booth today. I'll go. Put me in, coach. I got the Bernie costume. You know, we'll have some fun. But yeah, anyways... Also, it's not very useful, though, because high-quality haunts can and should demand more than lower-quality ones or less expensive ones. That's a duh moment.
Yeah, you put more into it, you should be able to get more out of it.
Per minute, yeah. And furthermore, the haunt may only be a part of the experience. What's going on after I leave the haunt? What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
A haunt that is small and maybe has a higher per minute might be able to justify itself if I'm spending the whole evening on the grounds doing other spooky stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And also, it unfairly punishes smaller haunts. If you have a haunt that you can only get a 7-minute walkthrough out of just because you don't have the space, are you suddenly a $7 haunt? I don't think so.
No.
I think that's ridiculous.
I also don't think you're necessarily a $21
haunt. No, let's not go crazy now. Or in the case of Mortuary, a 10-minute walkthrough is $30.
Yeah.
I don't think that works either.
No.
Point of the matter is, It's not a super useful metric for a bunch of reasons. Now, we can use it in aggregate, like what we did with the Houston tours. We were able to look at sort of the culture and the style of a region.
Right, exactly.
It's a little useful there, and especially with us, because I think pretty much every haunt we went through this season, we went through largely with ourselves or largely at a pace that we were comfortable with, in as much as we didn't bump into other groups.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to have some variance there, and that also can extend or decrease your time, too.
Right, it can. And we've gotten, well, especially with Louisiana haunts, we've gotten years of experience of... We have a spreadsheet, basically,
yeah.
that tracks all of the times, the prices, everything, of how long it took us to go through.
We got receipts.
Exactly. We were very surprised this year that 13th Gate had extended its walkthrough so much.
Yeah, and then what blew my mind was he didn't think he had.
Yeah.
Dwayne's like, no, we didn't really add that much. Dude, it was 10 extra minutes. I got the receipts.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I'm pulling out my phone and showing him previous walkthrough times.
Yeah.
Because it's all on Google Drive.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely crazy. But anyway, so yeah, but it's super not useful for trying to price an individual single haunt.
Right.
Like I said, there's some good aggregate data there, but in terms of trying to price your haunt or a haunt,
right.
not useful.
No.
Not very, at least. The second is copying what other haunts in the area are charging. A lot of haunt owners will look around and go, well, everybody here charges $25 a ticket. I'm charging $25 a ticket.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the conversation.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No, because you may not be that haunt. You aren't that haunt. You shouldn't be them.
Yeah.
You should be you.
As we're going to get into this in more detail, but the idea is this, is that pricing is a function of your business and your marketing. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two things that impact your pricing.
Right.
And notice, neither of those pointed to other haunts.
Right.
Other than maybe a little bit on the marketing side that we're going to get into.
Yeah.
But it's not super useful. So, yeah, the price point can be a useful tool to help you promote your haunt. Rather than copying what they're doing and getting lost in that shuffle, you could be a little cheaper than them. Maybe give it a better value, target families.
Yeah.
You can go a little higher, indicate your higher value, that you're worth more. I mean, people, they've done experiments where they sold a wheel of cheese. They cut them in half, so they're selling half wheels of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
They priced one premium and one with a budget price, and the premium one sold out faster.
Yeah.
Because people are fine paying more for a premium experience, and one of the ways you indicate that is through price. So simply copying what other people are doing denies you that opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. So all in all, what you want to do... is not just blindly look at what other haunts in the area do. And the final thing I see haunts do is they figure out how much money they need to stay open and divide it by their expected customers. Or and maybe build in some padding, you know.
Yeah.
How do you predict that? How do you predict, well, we're going to get 10,000 customers this year?
I don't know how you predict that on your first year.
Especially
your
first year.
Or even your first five.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too much.
There's a lot of growth in that time.
Well, there's also a lot of fluctuation... even between season, what happens if there's an exceptionally cold or wet October?
Yeah.
And yes, even indoor haunts will get rained out, quote unquote, because people stay the hell inside when it rains.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to a haunt. They don't want to go stand in a queue line.
Or, you know, not a problem for us, but if roads are icy.
Yeah.
Which is something we heard this season from our northern friends.
Yeah, we had some of our northern friends talking about how, A, their roads were all iced out, and nobody could get to them,
right.
And B, that the snow was destroying displays.
Yeah.
Even some professional haunts were having displays damaged by snowfall.
Yeah.
Which, that's nuts!
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, but we just never think about snow here.
No. Snow, what's that?
Rain and wind is much more our...
Yeah, what happens if, like, this year, here in Louisiana, we had a tropical storm on the Friday before Halloween?
Exactly.
I mean, okay, we're not supposed to get hit with tropical storms. Usually, you know, hurricane season technically ends in November, but we do not get tropical storms. Those storms, like, stay way the hell out in the ocean and don't bother anyone.
Yeah.
They annoy the sea otters or whatever the hell lives out there. Actually, I don't think sea otters live out there, but whatever.
Sirens, just sirens.
Just sirens.
Just go with that.
Just sirens, and then they go buzz around the Bermuda Triangle or some crap. They don't come to us. One came to us this year. Some haunts had issues because their biggest weekend was kersplatted by a tropical storm.
Yeah.
Just saying. And here's the other problem. That approach doesn't actually tell you the price.
No.
And the reason it doesn't do that is because you can make $50,000 by selling $1,050 tickets or $10,005 tickets.
Yeah,
I know. Give an extreme example.
Exactly. And I know which one of those it's easier to achieve.
Oh, yeah. The first.
Yeah.
But the point is, yeah, you can't simply try to guess how many people are going to come to your haunt, especially in their first years, and then price according to that. That doesn't work.
No.
And you're only going to screw yourself over. So yeah. Here's the thing.
One other quick thing I've noticed, I just thought of. Also, don't think what you would pay to go to your haunt, I think, is important.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is I know from myself and talking to other artists and creators and crafters, we always have trouble pricing our own stuff because we can make it. We want to charge what we would pay for it, which is less than what somebody else would.
Yeah. And one of the other problem is you are not your typical haunt customer, period.
Exactly.
You are such a big fan of haunted attractions, you run one.
Exactly.
You're that upper tier of insanity, okay?
Right.
You're listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Whatever you know how to do and build, your average customer is not going to know how to do it.
But, and the flip side is, your customers aren't going to be as big a fan of haunted attractions as you.
Right.
So, you can easily screw yourself by going too low.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh yeah, I built it, I know how much is in it, and da-da-da-da. Yeah. Or you can screw yourself by going too high with this mentality. I love this haunt. Of course you love it, you built it.
Right.
It's worth $50 a ticket.
Yeah.
And your customers are going to go, not that excited about a haunted house.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, this raises the question, what can work? The mantra to remember is this. Only two things are factored into your pricing. Your cost and your marketing.
Yeah.
Those are the only two things that will adjust your pricing. You have to cover your cost, and you have to make sure that the pricing fits in with your branding.
Mm-hmm.
So, ask yourself a few questions, and these are tough questions to be honest about. One, what kind of haunt are you? Are you a smaller, cheaper haunt that maybe is targeting groups and families? Or are you a big, mega haunt that's wanting to charge the huge dollars per ticket?
Right.
Price accordingly.
And that figuring out what type of haunt you are is especially important.
Yeah.
And what you want to get to eventually and what you want to be is not necessarily where you are.
Yeah. A lot of big, big, big haunts that now are charging 35 more ticket started out in high school gyms. I mean, 13th Gate got their start in a high school gym, for the love of God.
Yeah.
And they, what did he say? They charged $5 a person or something like that first time?
Yeah.
He said, I can't remember what he said, but it was something silly low. And it's like, well, now you've got this giant warehouse and movie quality sets and you're charging $30 a ticket.
Yeah.
Mazel tov. You know, great job.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Let's talk about covering cost first. Let's get some of the boring stuff out of the way that no one likes thinking about. There are three sets of costs for businesses to consider, including haunted attractions. The first is per customer costs. These are the costs that an individual customer incurs as they go to your business. So if you have a restaurant, that's like the food costs.
Right.
You know, that is anything that they consume or they cost you. If they don't walk in the door, you don't pay this.
Right.
The second is the per night costs. These are the costs that you have, whether you have one customer or 10,000 that night. And then there are the annual costs, the things that you have even when you are closed.
Yeah.
So there are three sets of costs to consider. So the per customer cost for a haunted attraction is functionally nil. I mean, your oxygen ain't that damn valuable. I'm sorry.
No, not really.
And the cost of the printed ticket and the transaction cost of selling that ticket are about all I can hit on. And I mean like the financial cost. You'd have to have the ticket booth staffed and you've had nobody show up.
Exactly.
So that's a nightly cost. But the actual physical ticket and that physical processing fee, if you take debit card, are the only customer costs.
Right.
So hopefully every customer pays for themselves very easily in your haunt.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, right? If you found a way to make it so expensive for each customer to give you money that you're losing dollars every transaction, I can't help you.
No.
You were beyond the reach of this podcast. You're beyond the reach of basic comprehension of business.
Yeah.
Now, the per-night costs are where things get trickier for this industry. Basically, Dick said, these are the things that you pay whether you have one, you're open, but it doesn't matter if you have one customer or 10,000.
Right.
So, if you pay your actors, which you absolutely should if you're a business, that's going to be the big one. And it's food and pay
right.
for this. You're going to provide catering. You're going to have to pay them an hourly rate, wage, so on and so forth. But you also have certain consumables in the haunt, too. Fog juice, things like that.
Makeup, sometimes costumes.
Yeah.
Some of those don't hold up for a season.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Your power usage and other utilities are going to go up on nights you're open.
Right.
So there is that element, too. But these are costs that happen if you're open, full stop.
Yeah. Other things that you may not think about is things like toilet paper and trash bags,
because
you got to throw shit away, and, well, your actors are going to need a bathroom.
And, of course, you got whatever security you have watching the haunt. All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the cost per year, or the cost over time, and this includes things like your rent / your loan repayment, the utilities in general, more broadly, any insurance, depending upon the type of insurance, is probably going to be annual. Like your property insurance is going to be an annual cost. Though, if you have something like rainout insurance,
right.
that might be a nightly thing where you pay only on the nights you're actually wanting to be open.
Yeah.
So that might be a nightly cost, but most insurance is going to be an annual cost. So here's the deal: from every ticket you sell, first the customer pays their costs.
Mm-hmm.
Then they pay toward the daily costs, and then anything left over after that goes to the annual costs. And what that means is that your first priority is to ensure that each and every customer turns a profit on themselves.
No.
Easy. We already did that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we have found a very effective industry where we sell nothing. Sell nothing but memories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's easy. Second is to make sure that the night is profitable. And that sounds like a weird thing to focus on because, like, hey, wait a minute, but if I don't turn a profit on the year, I don't get to open next year. You're right. But every unprofitable night you have just shifts those costs to the annual cost. Now, the next night starts in a hole.
Yeah.
And if that continues, then your annual costs don't really matter if you can't make ends meet night to night.
Exactly. And, you know, most haunts, whenever they open for season, start out in a hole because you have to pay for all of the months that you're not actually doing things.
And so that's just it. You already are in a hole. And any unprofitable night just digs that hole deeper.
Exactly.
So your first priority, your absolute very first thing has to be to make sure that each night is profitable. Don't worry about the full season yet. Mm-hmm. That issue comes later. Worry about each night. So here's the deal. With that, you can take a look at the minimum number of people you would reasonably expect to come. Don't think what your numbers are going to be.
Right.
We're going to get 20,000 people this year or whatever. Don't do that. What's a bad night look like? What does it look like? And I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What does a really bad night look like? And then ticket accordingly so that that night is still at least break even.
Yeah.
If you do that, because if you can't break even on a night, no matter how much you raise the ticket price, if it's not going to get enough people, don't open that night.
Yeah.
Just don't be open. Don't dig yourself a deeper hole to be open on a certain night. This was a problem that the House of Shock had a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, even though they had volunteer actors, they had to pay heavy permitting fees because of the pyro they were doing.
Right.
So their big hole they're digging was with the permitting fees. And the result was, we went there once on November 1st. We showed up. They opened at, I think, 8 or whatever. We showed up at like 8:45 and they were already closing down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 9:30, but yeah.
It was somewhere in that range, though. It was early.
Mm-hmm.
It was way early in the night. I'm like, why are you closing down? Because no one's here.
Yeah.
And the thing was, they just didn't get enough people to make the night profitable, so they cut their losses. But that means the money they lost on that night just made their annual cost higher, made more money they got to make up.
Right.
And so they never opened on a November 1st again. I'll give them that. They did realize that mistake.
Yeah.
And did not repeat it. But yeah. Basically, that is the approach I would take, is figure out how to make sure even a bad night breaks even. Because like I said, if you can't turn a profit every night you're open, you have no hope.
No.
No hope at covering your annual cost.
Right.
Sorry. So, okay, and then there's the marketing aspect. With that first part, you kind of have a floor.
Mm-hmm.
You now know how low you can go in terms of your pricing. And that should be the price you never go below, even with discounts, even with anything.
Right.
Now, marketing is where we try to raise and elevate that price or keep it low in order to better to compete with other haunts or other activities. So here's five questions to answer. One, how big is your haunt compared to others in the area? Two, how good is your haunt? Really tough one to answer.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be objective here. Three, how long do you expect people to be on the property? Four, who are you targeting? And five, why should someone go to your haunt versus doing literally anything else or going to a different haunt? What is your unique point? And each of those, you can kind of see how you can raise or lower your price. If you, you know, go, like if your haunt's way bigger or badder than others, you can raise the price. You can go further off that floor.
Right.
If people are going to be on the property for a long period of time, if you're expecting people to spend an evening, then you can justify a further price increase. If you're targeting families and you're targeting groups, you're going to need to keep it lower so you can get that bulk money.
Yeah, but possibly do something that adds more activities to the property so they stay longer and spend more at smaller amounts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, offer secondary, tertiary lines of income, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have something that's really special, like the mortuary, even though we didn't go this year because we were upset with their pricing choices, they are in an actual old, quote-unquote, haunted mortuary.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful historic building. It is gorgeous to look at. And my God, is that the best part of every walkthrough to me?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, they do have a justification for raising their price. I don't think $30 for a 10-minute walkthrough is on the list of price range, but, you know, neither here nor there. And yeah, definitely think about your target audience a lot when you do this, because if you're going after families, which I think is a market that is definitely kind of underserved right now,
yeah.
Keep your content more mild. It could still be horror, but you don't want to, you know, especially like sexual material that's going to be very, I mean, I don't understand our society where I can show a woman, you know, getting impaled by a meat hook,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, that's great for the kids.
Yeah.
But then, you know, but if she's topless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then somehow I'm traumatizing the youth. You know?
Yeah, no.
I don't get that. But
no, me either.
But keep that content out of it. And like I said, and try to find ways to keep your price down and also consider offering group discounts and maybe making that group discount available to smaller groups.
Yeah.
A lot of places will only offer group discounts starting at 20 or 10. Some haunts, though, will offer it as low as 5.
Yeah. So if you've got a family of 4 plus one of the kids has a friend that wants to go with them.
You've got a group pass then.
Exactly.
And I think that's pretty cool. That encourages that friend to show up when they might not have come otherwise.
Yeah, and maybe they'll say, hey, Mom, Dad, you got to take us to this place. And
yeah.
You know, expand
exactly.
That network.
Okay, likewise, you know, find that really unique selling point. Also, if you're a small haunt, you have two options. One is keep the price low. Or second is to find ways to extend the time both in the haunt and around it. Dead Rising near Chicago did a great job with this. I've been harping on what they did for a long time, but they have a small haunt. They're only about 4 times the size of our haunt.
Yeah.
They're about 2,000 square feet, apparently.
Yeah.
They're tiny. For a professional ticket buying haunt.
Right, exactly.
So what they did is they doubled and tripled down on interactivity. They did something very similar to the scenes we were describing.
Right.
It's much more interactive. It's much more engaging in that way. And it works. You get a very lengthy walkthrough for the price, mm-hmm. and you don't realize you just left a fairly small haunt.
Yeah.
It doesn't even sink in that this place is not big, you know?
Yeah.
Also, don't forget to look at other things that are available to your customers that they could do instead of going to a haunt. Movies are an amazing deal. $10 for 90 minutes of entertainment, plus the ability to sit on your butt and usually in a recliner.
Yeah.
And eat popcorn and sodas while you, damn, I'm going to go to a movie now.
Yeah.
We can't beat that price, and we can't beat that experience, at least on the dollar per minute value. Also, don't keep an eye out for other events, such as parties and festivals. Every year, the last weekend of October, is Voodoo Fest.
Yeah.
It is this big, huge music festival that we finally would be able to go to this year, but the lineup totally sucked.
It did.
How is Guns N' Roses still a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I mean, so, yeah, I love me some GNR back in the day, but...
Right, look at that. And also, you know, I would say even look at if you offer escape rooms, you're offering customers a chance to spend an hour in your haunt for about the price of going through the rest of the haunt.
Yeah. Yeah, a $25 escape room ticket gets you, hopefully, close to an hour of entertainment and excitement. Where that same $25 ticket when applied to a haunt might only get you half that.
Yeah, exactly.
Something to think about. Escape rooms are a really good value from the customer standpoint, especially if they're going in with their friends.
Right.
I mean, they're not so great. Just, you know, me, myself, and I show up at a haunt. I want to do an escape room. We don't have any that one person can do.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, and if you are offering... escape rooms, you should definitely build in the quality, the same kind of quality that you have at your haunt, so that people will know, oh, this is such an awesome, amazing escape room. I've got to go back and see what they do.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why haunts and escape rooms mesh well is because basically they're cross-promoting each other.
Yep, exactly.
They have enough of the same skill set that you know a haunt with a good haunt will likely have a decent escape rooms and vice versa.
Right.
And, of course, escape rooms are annual income and can help contribute to those annual costs month after month after month.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that should give you an idea of the range that you probably want to target here. Once again, never going below your floor, you now have an idea of a range. Now you can do your discounts and your add-ons and your VIP stuff and whatever else you're going to do.
Yeah, and you've got to build your floor up in order to be able to add those on.
Yeah. If you can't justify going beyond your floor, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that trouble is not related to your pricing. It's something with the haunt. You clearly cannot, you're clearly opening on nights you shouldn't be, and that you're making your bad nights really bad nights.
Right.
You may have just simply got too much cost nightly.
Yeah.
I don't know what would cause that. I mean, House of Shock, like I said, the permitting fees were dangerous. But
yeah, well, and in New Orleans, I would even say that I would seriously, if we had a professional haunt here, I would look at whether or not to open on Saints game nights, period.
Oh, God, yes.
Because we've seen what it does to our little home haunt. It
murders it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the one time that... Halloween fell on a Monday, and of course the Saints had to play Monday night football.
Yeah.
It destroyed. It hindered our ability to get actors, because they want to stay home and watch the Saints game. You know, I'm not a sports ball guy.
Yeah.
But that miffed me some when some of the actors were like, no, I think I'd rather just go watch the Saints game. I'm like, dude.
Well, none of those actors are still with us.
No, thank God.
So.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, things like that you've got to think about, too, because that can kill a night.
Yeah. Hey, focus on making sure that every night is profitable. Part of that does mean not opening certain nights.
Exactly. Even if you normally would.
Yeah. Like, I know 13th Gate would always suffer with LSU games.
Yeah.
Similar problem. But their issue was not nearly as extreme as what happened with us in the Saints game that year.
No. That and once and they were open later than us. So once the game ended, people could come over.
Exactly. And you still have a good night.
Exactly.
they'll come out, they'll come over from the stadium or they'll come out of the bars or whatever and go to the haunted house.
Right.
Especially if they're feeling good and LSU won and they're just amped to keep the night going.
Yeah.
Keep the buzz of the night going, you know?
Exactly.
All right, some additional factors real fast about pricing to kind of wrap this up. First, for the love of God, make sure your price ends in a zero and five. $13 tickets sound really cute, but it's a son of a bitch if you're paying cash.
Yeah.
A, it's a bitch for the person having to pay in cash, and it's a bitch for the person selling the tickets to have to give the change for that.
Yeah.
And also, four tickets is for $13 is 52. Who the hell has 52 on them?
Right.
I mean, we live in an... If anybody has more than $20 on them, you can be assured that nearly all of that is in 20s and 10s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That is impossible. Yeah. Likewise, take credit cards and do it without a processing fee. Seriously, I know we harp on this a lot, but be better than Ticketmaster.
Yeah. Yeah, I would much rather pay a flat fee that includes that price
yes.
that you're gouging me on than not.
I would rather pay
separate.
You know, $25 for a ticket than pay $20 for a ticket plus a $2 surcharge.
Yeah, transaction fee.
Or whatever, credit card
yeah.
fee. Yeah, I technically save $3 the other way, but I much prefer it. And plus, once again, you got the implied value of that 25 versus the implied value of 20.
Yeah.
Something to think about. It's better to raise your prices.
Yeah, because it feels like a hidden cost that you're trying to get in at the end.
And it's a bit like when you roll up at a haunt and realize that they also charge for parking.
Yeah, I know. Nearly turned around.
Yeah, so close. So goddamn close to turning around on that one. That was Creepy Hollow that did that.
Yep.
And blah, 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 blah. The one at the pier.
Yes. Dungeon of Doom.
Dungeon of Doom. I'm thinking, oh, it's a wrestling stable. Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. God damn it, who was it? Dungeon of Doom. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'd much rather pay a flat fee. And that also makes it easier for me to know how much I'm paying.
Right.
Because, like, my budgeting is much easier when I pay, you know, $25 than when I pay $22.50. The amount of math I have to do
right.
goes down. And also, and this was the one thing that finally, last two things. One, offer combo deals. This is the way you raise your prices. The
right.
easiest. Two attractions are better than one the same size. Give me two 7,000 square foot attractions instead of one 15,000 square foot attraction. You can charge a lower amount for each attraction individually, obviously, but your combo pass, for example, a good example of how this works is like they'll one attraction be $25. Okay, fine. You split it into two. You charge $15 for each attraction, and then offer that combo or charge $20 for each attraction, and then do a $30 combo pass.
Right.
You raise your price $5 without really doing all that much. Oh, well, then, of course, splitting your haunt in two. I mean,
well, yeah.
Easy peasy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I did that before breakfast. What are y'all talking about? But
yeah.
The point remains, that is a way to make money, and it gets better the more attractions you have. Rise, what?
None. Go ahead.
Rise gets $50 a year out of us for a combo pass with three attractions.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it'd be now. Okay, considering one of the attractions is a hayride, I don't think you're going to get one attraction that's the size of all three ever.
No.
But yeah, the point remains, you can definitely get more money out of customers by offering combo passes and smaller haunts, but make sure those haunts are still tight. Seriously, Houston.
Yeah.
You were so close.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that once you set your price,
mm-hmm.
it's much harder to raise it because your customers are going to expect that price.
Yeah, oh God.
And if you're going back to the cash only thing, if you are cash only and people show up expecting to pay what they paid the previous year,
yeah.
and you've raised your prices, well, then they're going to just turn around and leave.
Yeah, I have, like we mentioned, I worked at the ticket booth a couple of nights
right.
for a haunt, and that haunt in particular had gone from, it was all, such an expensive haunt, and it was such a good haunt, too, for the price range. It was crazy. You should have been charging more. We kept telling them.
Yeah.
But it was $10 the year before, and he went up to the whopping $12.
Yeah.
Which, A, that's a bitch to be in the ticket booth for.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I suck at multiplication. So I had to literally do a printout. 1 equals 12. 2 is 24. 3 is 36. Because I can't do my higher, I can't do my 12s.
Yeah.
I never memorized my multiplication tables. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, especially not on the fly with people like yelling at you and trying to give you money.
Exactly. No. So this is, I put that in there and everyone's life got a lot easier.
Yeah.
But the thing I always remembered is we lost a lot of people. They would come up and go, "We need 3 tickets? $36, sir." And you know, "Oh, I thought it was 30.
Yeah.
It was 30 last year. I'm like, "Well, sir, they had to go up on the price. Not my choice. I'm just the just lowly ticket booth worker today, you know?"
Yeah, exactly.
Then just got in the car and leave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, price increases are really going to hurt you. It's much better to set your price high. Mm-hmm. And then offer lots of discounts that you can then pull the discounts away over time if needed or do some.
Exactly.
Which is unfortunately what the mortuary has done exactly, but now only that ultra high price remains.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. And the other thing is, once again, this is one of the things Houston did really, really well. Make your haunt an all-evening thing.
Yes.
Make it something people can spend hours and hours at. If Rise achieves their vision, they're going to become a multi-day thing from the sound of it.
Yeah.
It's going to get a little nuts. It's difficult to do everything at Rise in one night if there are lines.
Right.
So, yeah. Just be mindful that if people spend a whole evening there, A, they're going to drive further to go see it because the cost, the time cost is better. And they're going to pay more even if you don't necessarily expand the haunts much.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hopefully that helps. That provides at least some guidance and some ideas. I mean, like I said, we're not going to tell you the exact price you should be charging because we don't know. Every haunt, every situation is different. What your market and your haunt will command is not what your neighbor's, you know, situation is. So, yeah, try to figure it out and good luck. Mm-hmm. On that note, everyone, this has been episode 206 of Haunt Weekly. Take 2 of it. I cleared off the SD card this time. I'm very sure we have it all. You can find us at hauntweekly.com. We are Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, and, of course, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. You can also find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we see you guys next week, where hopefully we only have to record the podcast once.
Hopefully.
It'd be nice.
It would.
We'll see you guys then.